In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Long gospel passage today from John this morning, eh? It is, in fact, the longest conversation that Jesus has with anyone in the Bible. And it begs for some context to better understand why the heck Jesus is in Samaria. No Jewish person in first century Palestine would willingly and intentionally step foot in Samaria, let alone talk to a Samaritan woman. Their mutual hatred goes back centuries. Samaritans are unclean. They broke the law and intermarried with their captors long, long ago. They even built their own temple, rejecting the true temple in Jerusalem. Yet when we look closely at this gospel, right before our opening line for today, it says, "He left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria." As theologian and professor Caroline M. Lewis points out, no, he did not. Hold that. Jesus did not have to go through Samaria to get where he was going. As most of you know, several of us from St. Cross recently returned from a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Now, I admit, I am not a fan of super early morning wake-up calls, kind of like today, just not natural. Not for me, anyway. I also admit that I'm not overly enthusiastic about most deserts. But our earliest morning pilgrimage adventure was to the desert, and it turned out to be a most sacred experience. We hiked up a small hill. The sun was just rising. The sky was exploding with color. And below us lay Wadi Kelt, a valley with a riverbed beginning near Jerusalem and continuing to the Jordan River and on up to Galilee. I was stunned to learn I was looking at Jesus' primary traveling route. I was looking directly at one of two routes Jesus and his friends could have taken to avoid going to Samaria. He could have made it all the way from Jerusalem, where he had been hanging out with Nicodemus, up to Galilee in about 4 days. So why in the world did he choose to go through Samaria? Now remember last week, when Nicodemus comes at night to chat with Jesus, what is the verse you remember most? Was it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life"? God loved the world so much that he left Jerusalem specifically to find the people, and indeed a particular person, who had been left out, abandoned, lonely. The Samaritan woman at the well is not the promiscuous, immoral, and sacrilegious person she is frequently made out to be. On the contrary, she is a victim of her time and place, where a woman's function was to have children. She has no personal agency over her life. She has no ability to file for divorce, but her husband can divorce her on a whim. If her husband dies, her husband's oldest brother is obliged to marry her. If he dies, the next brother is obliged to marry her, and so on. She has zero control over her husband's either dying or divorcing her. She is completely vulnerable. This brave and curious woman goes to the well in the heat of the day to avoid the same scrutiny and judgment that even today is heaped upon her. And who is waiting for her? God. None other than God. The same I am Moses chatted with up on the holy mountain. The same I am who introduces the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word made flesh in Jesus. Only in the Gospel of John does Jesus describe himself so beautifully. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. This same I am has veered way off the beaten path to find this particular courageous woman at the well. They quickly delve into deep conversation. How is it you're even talking to me, Jesus? A woman, a Samaritan. How is this possible? Jesus wastes no time telling her why. I have something I need you to know, to absorb, to grab onto. There is such a thing as a well within you, deep down in your soul. There is a riverbed there. I walk alongside it. My deepest desire is for you to walk with me, to trust me with your deepest desires, with the pain that you carry, with your hopes and dreams for who you are and who you are becoming, to know how precious you are, to know that every bit of you belongs. But you have agency. It's your choice to lower your bucket, to put your trust in me. You can even ignore me. But I need you to know what I am offering. A continuous source of refreshment for you to draw upon. Living water flowing freely in the riverbed of your soul. The living water I will give will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Eternal life now. New life. Abundant life. A changed life. A courageous life, a life where you can be your true and authentic self. This good news is so incredible to the Samaritan woman that she leaves her water jug behind. She leaves her unanswered questions and her uncertainty. She leaves her fear of being ridiculed. She runs and tells her entire village that she is pretty darn sure that she has met the Christ. Come and see. Where do we meet Christ? Are we able to stay in conversation, or is it easier to ignore Spirit? We are invited to take time out to listen deeply for God. But it is not a one-way street. It is a relationship. We keep talking about it being a relationship because it is. It is a relationship based on mutuality and trust. Is there anything weighing on us that we can put down for a while and entrust to God's care? We are invited to take time to talk to God about our burdens, our hopes and our dreams, our hurts, shame, isolation, grief, to share our joys and excitement too. Please don't leave those out. When we do, we will find God's presence there, walking along a flowing river. God knows us, loves us, encourages us, gives us strength and courage and hope. God has gone out of the way to find us, each and every one. Come, see, and then like the woman at the well. Feel free to share the good news. Amen.